So today I want to share with you a little. We've been sharing for the last several weeks, and we've had a study back in Sunday school, of course, of when God's Spirit moves and speaks of that of the Holy Spirit. It's been very enlightening, as any time you speak of God's Spirit, it should be enlightening, right? Even though we read the same scriptures, the familiar scriptures, and the things that we come across, it's been in there from, you know, day one. But we reread it, and we read it again, and we discuss it, and we reflect back on it, and then we begin to think more about that of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to tell you, in this day and age and where we're in, the Holy Spirit is much needed in all of our churches. All of our churches need to be awakened to that of the Holy Spirit if that church is going to be effective to help people that come to be able to be strong in the days ahead. We can't do it under our own strength. We can't do it under our own name. We can't do it under a denominational name or anything like that. But it's got to be that of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take a lot of people to set a place on fire, does it? How many were in the upper room initially for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Just the disciples, you know, the 12 or thereabouts. You know, it was a small group, and then it went from there and increased. But that gives us an understanding that God is not looking for a mass of people to pour His Spirit out upon. He's looking for a people of any number, but the, I think, prerequisite of that is, are you hungry for the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry for more of what God has for you in your life? Are you just okay with just doing the same old, and just going by life? Oh, we got Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I'm going to spend eternity when I die in heaven. He's made a way for that, and I've got a mansion there, and He's prepared a place for me, and that's all well and good. But I want to get to that point to where we are still here for a purpose of God's plan. Don't you agree? God's plan was not just to receive Jesus Christ, die, and go to heaven. Receive Jesus Christ, become a new creation, re-reconcile back to God, and then allow God to pour His Spirit into you to do mighty and great works. Jesus said that. You know, greater things you will do when I leave you. So we are going to do even greater things. And it's really, you can look at that and you're trying to figure it out, and people try to go, greater than raising of the dead and casting out demons? How could that much more? Yeah, some instances, and you look at that and reflect on some of that, it's just that there's going to be more of us, and we're going to be all doing great works of the things that what Jesus did. And I do believe we can raise the dead. I do believe we can cast out those demonic forces in people's lives if you are so led by the Holy Spirit to do that. Just don't do it on your own fruition or what you think you want to do to say, hey, let's try this. I think that might be a good thing. Let's go look and see if we can cast out some demons. I am certainly not looking to do that. But I know that through that of the Holy Spirit in me, that there is a power source there if that is called by God to do something like that. Don't you agree? It's not on our own power. It's under His power. He's using us to do these things in this world that He's had created. And so it is a battle. It is a continuation of things to do. I truly believe that, you know, we're here and we are part of His kingdom and we're going to prevail. Amen. His kingdom will prevail no matter what takes place in this side of heaven. No matter what goes on in America or around this world, God's kingdom will prevail. God will prevail. Everything that He's going to accomplish, He will accomplish. And if He can't get you to do it, He'll use a rock to cry out. Amen. He'll use a donkey to talk to people if you're not going to talk to him. God will do whatever He needs to do to fulfill what He's going to do. So it's not us saying, well, let me work on that, God, and I'll get back with you. God is wanting us to say, here I am. Use me. Work through me, God. I want to bring you honor and glory in my life, just like Jesus said, to give glory and honor to you, my Father in heaven. But we know that we need a power much more than ours. We actually need a power that was much more than that of Jesus. You know, even though Jesus was God in the flesh, Jesus said, I have to go so that He can come. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever we want to call this triune God, the third person of the triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a well-orchestrated plan that God had from the very beginning, right? How it was all going to play out. Oh, the devil thought he'd won when he put Jesus on the cross. But that didn't work. He thought he was going to win when he put him in the tomb. That didn't work. The devil thought he was out of his way. He's dead. He's in the tomb. He's going to be rotten bones now. Little did the devil know that there's a resurrection coming on that third day. Jesus rose, ascended to heaven after 40 days of walking. And then he said, I've got to go. And 10 days after he ascended, what happened? 10 days after that, 50 days after the tomb and the cross, the Holy Spirit came. You cannot tell me that God does not orchestrate everything and have everything in his timing. Amen. I believe he's got everything timed in your life as well. Not just in Jesus' life and his service and what he performed and did, but God has a precise timing and a path for your life and what you're to be doing and a part of. And so grab a hold of that, amen? Well, how are you going to grab a hold of it? You've got to be led by that of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has to come into you to be able to speak to you, to direct you, to guide you, to share with you. So now getting back, I guess a couple of weeks back after one of our lessons on a Sunday morning in the Sunday school, I shared with one of the people as we're leaving, I said, oh my goodness, listen to what I think I heard from God. And he said, how deep is your spiritual water table? How deep is your spiritual water table? So I would title this, Your Spiritual Water Table. It's going to take us a little while maybe to go through it. I don't think I'm going to get it done. Because the more I typed and the more I kept looking up stuff, I've got almost five pages here. And I do good to get one page done. But I want to work through this a little bit. So throughout Scripture, we come across the mentioning of water. We were sharing back in Sunday school, the Holy Spirit has been notated as what? Fire, wind, water. Fire, wind, and water. Each one has a certain type of property. Each one is for a purpose. But we've been talking and mentioning water. We talked about the Holy Spirit being represented by that of wind and fire and water. As the physical body needs and requires water to survive, we need to understand the importance that Jesus spoke of what? Regarding water. Water is important, don't you agree? You can go longer without food than you can with water. You need water a lot sooner than you need food because your body is made up of over half or 50% or 52% or something like that, close to 60, of water. You find your brain is like 60% of water, you know? So water is very much needed in our life to survive. Well, I'm going to tell you, the water of the Holy Spirit is needed in your life if you want to survive in that of the spiritual realm of the kingdom of God. Because there's a force out there that is anti-God. There's a force out there that is the God of this world that wants to destroy and take away and retract anything that God does. But we know that he's a liar, he's failing, and he's not going to succeed. He's just dumb enough that he doesn't understand that. And he just wants to keep creating havoc even though he's defeated. So we need water to survive. Jesus spoke a lot about water. In the Bible, water represents that of birth, fertility, refreshment. Now, in a Christian context, water has many correlations. Christ walked on water. He turned water into what? Wine. He did things in the natural things of water that are beyond our comprehension. I can't comprehend how you walk on water. I can't comprehend how you turn just water into wine, and not just wine, but the best wine at that supper, marriage feast, or at the marriage. We find in the Bible living water. Living water is a biblical term which appears in both the Old and the New Testament. Jeremiah 2:13 and Jeremiah 17:13 talked about the prophet describes God as that of the spring of living water. The spring of living water. God, the spring of living water. I'm so happy he's a spring of living water and not just a pool of living water. Because really a pool of water is not living if it's just a pool. It gets yucky, stagnant, stuff grows in it. Mosquitoes love to lay their eggs in stagnant water, you know. But God is that, hallelujah, a spring of living water. So what is water, or why is water an important symbol in our Christianity life? Water is important because it is symbolic in baptism. For us, in our understanding of the baptism, of course, we do full immersion of baptism. Which means you take the person and you lay them under the water, totally immersed, and raise them back up. That does not save you. That does not get you to heaven. All that is doing is showing those around you that you're saying, I have died to self, And now as I come back up out of that water, I am a new person. The old life has been buried, and now I'm a new creation. The things that are with God. So water is symbolic in our baptism. It also means cleansing, our purity. Water symbolizes, where we're wanting to go, to that of the Holy Spirit, just as fire and wind as well. So as I began to look at this, and when the Lord prompted me to say, how deep is your spiritual water table, I began to think about that. What do you think about that in yourself? I hope today's message you begin to think about that, because a few weeks back, remember, I talked about how we are to examine ourselves. I am not going to examine you and figure out where you're at with the things of God. We all individually need to examine yourself and be realistic and honest with yourself and find out where are you with that of Christ. The same thing has to be with that of the Holy Spirit. You need to find out where is your water table at with that of the Holy Spirit, the water of the Holy Spirit. Woo! I got to tell you, when God dropped that into my spirit, I've been thinking on that for the last two, and this is probably my third week now. And it all of a sudden yesterday came and began to put these things down. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, let's just share it today and we'll see what happens, because it's been stirring in my soul and been sharing with different people about this. But as we begin to look at the spiritual aspect, you know, you recognize and remember that a lot of things that even God, as well as Jesus, whenever he reflected and talked to the people that he was in contact with, he did a lot of times correlating with that of what? The physical realm around them. He had to bring the understanding of the spiritual, because we, at that time, even when Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit wasn't released. The Holy Spirit wasn't teaching and guiding the disciples. Who was teaching and guiding the disciples? Jesus. So a lot of things he was saying was well outside their realm of understanding. But he used a lot of things of the natural, a lot of things of farming, planting, cultivating, harvesting, throwing seed by the road and all of that, you know, scattering seed and what happens of hard ground, good ground, rocky ground, all of these things. So people back then could understand that. If he would tell that to you, you would say, oh, I understand that, because I remember when I tried to plant some crops and they fell on a hard, rocky surface, it didn't come up very well. Or, you know, I planted some and it came up fast, but it didn't have what? Deep roots. And I think gentlemen here that are with us today come back farming history, and I don't know what kind of farms it was, but you understand that as well as probably any of us, you know, having that understanding. And any of us that have had a garden, you know, I haven't had a garden in many years. I let my friends do the gardening and let them give me their bounty. I just show up and say, hey, here I am, you know. Give me a tomato, bag of tomatoes, a bag of that. I will help you empty your garden. But Jesus spoke in things of the natural. So I had to go into the natural this to understand this. So what happens in the physical aspect when you are not saturated with water? Well, what happens first? Thirst. You get thirsty. Thirst is the classic sign. This is your body's way of sending an alarm saying, hey, it's urgent that I need hydration. You better give me some water. Your mouth goes dry. A lot of things are going to happen. But your initial sense, your body says, thirst. My mouth is dry. I'm spitting cotton. Whatever the case is, my body is desiring water. But it's a signal for me to pay attention to. If I don't pay attention to it right away, what's going to develop? Headaches. This is all in the natural now. We're starving our body of the life source of water. Remember, food you can do a lot longer without. Water, you need it within, I don't know, I didn't look this up, but how does somebody know? Three what?
3 days.
In 3 days, you need a resource of water or you're dead. So probably in those 3 days, the second day you're not probably doing as good as the first. The third day you're just spitting cotton and you're dead, you know. Your mind begins, like out in the Western days, or even now I suppose, I've never been in the desert, but I remember in those Western movies I'd watch, you know, they'd be out in the desert and they were so starved of thirst, you know, they see mirages. You know, the sand starts looking like water. And these guys would be so in need of water, they would take the sand and just thinking that was water and it's not water. Now this is kind of crazy. Now that reminds me, I was watching a movie. I can't think of the name. You guys might, but it was one of the Clint Eastwood movies, and he was out in the desert and being starved of water. And his face looked terrible. His lips were parched and dry and cracked, his whole facial. Just like what it's describing here, your body is striving and needing water, and it will get down to that. But headaches begin. When a headache comes on, it's not a painkiller you need to take if you're dehydrated. You just need hydration. You need water. Lack of the water. What causes the headaches? Now, this is, okay, you begin to look at this and understand these things, physical aspects into the spiritual aspects, and we'll try to get to the spiritual after this. But looking at some of these things, lack of water causes the blood to become thicker, which results in less oxygen is transported to the brain. The thicker your blood gets, it doesn't move as freely. It starts coagulating. It moves slower. When it moves slower, you're not getting oxygenated, and everything just starts kind of being a downhill spiral from there. Water is very important for our body. You have a time of trying to concentrate. You can't even concentrate anymore. The brain is 3/4 water. When the body lacks sufficient fluids, we have difficulties concentrating. There's some bodily things that happen in urine and that nature that begins to change and show effects of lack of water. We have dry skin. If your body receives too little water, you'll see that in your skin. The available fluids that are used to supply vital organs. Your skin is an organ, right? It's like the biggest organ you've got, really, your skin is that. But all of your organs are needing water. Your skin needs water. The available fluids are used to supply vital organs first. The skin must wait its turn. That's why it turns dry and flaky. God has designed this body that we're in, and it's created in such a way that it's amazing. Don't you agree? How different things that affect you, what happens in your body's metabolic state of things of happening when you're going through stressful times. It talks about when officers and things of that nature, anybody, military, anything, when you get into a high stress situation of life and death and you're making decisions and you're in maybe a battle, all of a sudden your body begins to draw the blood from your extremities into your core area of your body to keep your core functioning with the blood. The body does that. It's the stress thing. It's those things that are released in our body through cortisones and all these zones of this and zones of that. I have no way to explain it and understand it other than I've been told that and studies show that, and that's where those things happen. That's why, you get shot in a particular main part of your body or whatever, you'll bleed out faster. You got all your blood right there. If you get shot in the arm, you have less blood. Now, if it hits an artery, there's all things you got to look at there. But there's things that they've looked at. There's things that they've studied within the physical dynamics of the body and how the body responds to stress and situations going on. That same thing happens within your body when you start lacking it of moisture, of water. The body begins to, whatever you've got available, it's going to begin to start concentrating it into the parts of your body that needs to survive. And the skin is going to be the last thing. So you start looking at your skin scaly and drawn and wrinkly and all that. You've lost the fluid. You've lost that flexibility in your skin. These are all signs. These are all things of the thirst of the body. What about the thirst of your spirit? What about the things of the Holy Spirit in your life when you begin to go through a dry spell with God? You go through a dry spell with God, you get thirsty of the Spirit. That's why we talk about, come and fill me, refill me, fill me again, Lord. That's why one filling of the Holy Spirit is not enough, right? We need a constant, there's some of you might need a filling of the Holy Spirit every day because of what you're going through, of what is taking place in your life. We'll get back into that in a little bit. Another part of your body function, this is the stuff I don't really want to share about, but you're talking about urinary things and your bowel movements and things like that. It all begins to show these signs. Just look it up yourself if you like, but it's not a good thing. Dizziness. The main cause of dizziness is low blood pressure. This results, among other things, from a lack of hydration. The blood can no longer be thinned properly and is pumped more slowly through the body. Just like anything else, remember we talked about less water, the blood starts thickening. When the blood starts thickening, it's taking harder to push it through the veins, and pretty soon you begin to get dizzy, lightheaded, blood pressure problems. The blood is not functioning like it should. Why is it when they tell you when you're going to have blood draw, they always tell you to drink plenty of water? Drink fluids. Get water into your veins, and some people need that more than others if you've got a hard time of digging and poking. You really want to make sure you drink a few glasses of water a few hours before that, because it'll help them draw the blood out of you a lot easier than if it was just without it. Water goes right into the blood to thin it, to move it through the body efficiently. You become fatigued. Dehydration leads the body to shut down. The metabolism, you begin to shut down. Your body is saying, I'm starved for the fluid. We're shutting down. The spiritual realm, when you are short of that, of the or dryness of the dehydrated of the Holy Spirit, I believe that happens in our lives. We begin to get dizzy. We begin to get fatigued. We begin to shut down the things of God. We're not performing and doing what we were doing at one other time or sometime in the past. One last thing, muscle cramps. The muscles begin to cramp, caused by electrolyte imbalances. I know this is like, I came to church and I'm hearing more of a physiological thing in my body. But when the Lord spoke to me about this water table, and I want to get into that as well, the importance of the water table, you've got to look at the correlation of physical water in your body to keep it functioning, as well as the water of the saturation and the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. If we don't get to that level of understanding of, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be a dry, parched Christian. And when you're dry and parched, the wind comes and it blows you away. You're no good for nothing. God wants us to be ready to go at a notice of a call, like, do this, go there, say this, share that. You got to be ready. Muscle cramps are caused by the electrolyte imbalance. If we sweat more and do not drink enough fluids, you'll start getting leg cramps. And those are all things that I've been told and things that you pay attention to. You know, if you're starting to get cramped in legs. You go out the last few times in the summer and try to cut grass, and you get out there where it's like, you know, I don't know, mid-80s and high humidity. It doesn't take long to zap your strength, man. I remember when I was younger, it didn't affect me, I don't think. And now as I've gotten older, and things that I've got to be careful of and watchful of, you know, it's just like, man, you get out there and you try to get it in the cool of the day. And sometimes that sneaks up on you. By the time you get two-thirds or the third, you know, halfway into cutting your yard, it's like, there. I used to be able to cut without taking a break. But after about the front and the side or a few cuts here and there and things that I'm doing, I've learned to say, you know what, Tim? Turn the mower off, go get a cup of water, and sit for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and just drink some water. And it's amazing what that does. I'm sure you could experience the same thing. But it's your body, and it's the thing that we've got to be, as especially now, you know, as you're younger and older. Remember, as a kid, you never listened to your body. The only one you listened to about your body was your mom or your dad, but usually it was mom saying, little Timmy, sit and eat. Timmy, drink this. Timmy, do that. And okay, I feel okay, mom. But your parents looked out for you. Now as we've gotten older, you've got to look out for yourself. As we are in the things of the kingdom of God, and as God is our Father in heaven, and as we are doing and serving Him, and we've been saved by that of Jesus Christ, and now we've got the Holy Spirit, as we've invited Him in, working in our lives, we've got to be listening to the things of Father God to say, and this goes into my physical aspects. Do you believe that the spiritual part of the Holy Spirit will help you with your physical? Amen. Tim, it's probably best you slow down. Tim, you better rest. You better take some water, whatever the case might be. Because I'm out there just pushing the mower like nothing's like, come on, I gotta get this done. You know, I try to take my mind off of it. I try to start thinking about things of God and things of the church or whatever the case might be, and just trying to unfocus from going up and down each thing of the mower. Ugh. And I look at my yard, I go, okay, 15 more paths back and forth, and I'll be done, you know. Oh, that's a long ways away when your body is starved for water. But just like in the physical, we've got to take and pay attention to that. I think we need to really do that far more with that of the Spirit of God. Because we find out that we're running on a half a tank of the Spirit. And pretty soon that's depleted. And pretty soon the things that happen in our lives starts mounting up, and we don't understand what's taking place. So we've gone through the physical aspects of this. In Scripture, we read where Jesus talks of a drink of this water. Remember that at the well? Girl at the well. Drink of this water and you will what? Thirst again. Physical water, you will thirst again. But drink of the water I have and you shall be satisfied. In John 4:13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I have shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." A fountain, like God had talked about, he was that fountain, that spring. We receive Christ, we begin to have that fountain in us, but we've got to realize that's looking at Jesus as saying, "Have my water, the watering of the word and things of that nature, and you will thirst no more." You know, she was thirsty in the things of the natural, not understanding the things of the spiritual, right? So as we looked at that, we find that many spiritual functions mirror physical functions. As our body hungers and thirsts, so do our souls. Our souls need spiritual food and water. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," you know? The woman at the well confused the two kinds of water. This could be due to because no one had talked to her or shared to her about the spiritual hunger and the thirst prior to meeting Jesus there at the well. We would not think to starve our physical bodies of water and food. Why aren't we as concerned with our souls? We find the living water, Jesus, and the written word. You know, we find the living water, Jesus, and the written word, that of the Bible, can satisfy our hungry and thirsty souls. Jesus talked about these things, that I will satisfy you. These things that she was sharing were temporary, but what he says, the water that I have to give you will be everlasting. And that's that receiving Christ, that's receiving yourself into that of the realms of what God has for us. Jesus also shared about rivers of living water in John 7:37. The promises of the Holy Spirit is where we come here now. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He's sharing something that they didn't quite understand, because the Holy Spirit had not been given yet. Why? Because Jesus was still alive, walking this earth, doing what he was charged to do. Those who are satisfied by Jesus will themselves become channels of spiritual refreshment. See, that's the thing. As we are filled and become that of Christ in us, and we've received him, and as we become with that of the Holy Spirit in us, we begin to find out that we are channels of spiritual refreshments for others as people we come into contact with. Here the use of rivers contrasts that with a fountain in John 4:14. We're illustrating the difference between one's new birth, okay, and one's experience of the overflowing fullness of the Spirit-filled life. So that's when, at the well, okay, illustrates the difference. This was the new birth, and then the other is the experience of the overflowing fullness of the Spirit-filled life. We need both. We need to receive Christ. We need to allow the water of his word, the watering of the word, to come upon our lives. We need that of the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can be a refreshment, a spiritual refreshment to those around us. We've got to understand that there's more to our lives than just us. You know what? We are not just here for ourselves. When we get to that level of, well, I'm just here for me, myself, and I, that's very an inward look. And you're not concerned with what's going on around you. You're not concerned with others that are out there lost with that of the salvation of Jesus. They're those that are out there without that of the Holy Spirit to understand these things that are taking place. We see a lot of people out there that are just in a terrible way. And we, as followers of Christ, we want to say Christian. We got to sometimes be careful with that terminology, because a lot of people think they're Christian, but you get down to the brass tacks and it's like they're missing a lot of the things of a Christian life. But are you a follower of Christ? Are you following him like his disciples? Are you listening to what he has said? Well, how do you listen to him today? You read the word. You read it in the red. That's Jesus speaking. After that, then you begin to hear it by that of the Spirit, as you have the Spirit leading in you. Jesus said that he will come to lead you into all truth and guide you into things of God. That's why it's important for the Holy Spirit. We need to be led again into truth. We need to be led by that of God. Jesus said, "Just as I see or hear the Father, that's what I tell you." Jesus then says, "What the Holy Spirit sees and sees the Father do, that's what the Holy Spirit speaks and shows you." So all of this, whether it's through that of Jesus or through that of the Holy Spirit, where does it all come from? God. It comes from God, the creator of it all. I hope you can trust God to control your life. He created your life. He knows all about you. He set you here for a plan and a purpose. And I hope that we're gaining and growing in those things of the Spirit to where I want to fulfill that with God, and I want to complete that with Him. And I want to be able to say, I want to honor you, God, and glorify you, God. So after we come out of all that, of the Holy Spirit and Jesus speaking about rivers of living water, now we're looking at how deep is that level in you. As I shared the physical aspects in our body of water, dehydration, and thirst, I pray that the Spirit, as you're listening to that, maybe you would begin to think of some things in the spiritual realm that you could see how that would affect you in the spiritual aspects of the things of God. Because if we don't get this, we're missing it. And the thing about it on this DVD series, Jim Cimbala says that we have so many books out here trying to teach people on how to get the Holy Spirit, and you can't teach people how to get the Holy Spirit, really. It's got to be a thing that you receive Him. You ask Him, as one of the guys in an example on the DVD said, all I heard is this person saying something next to me, and I thought, I'll just repeat that. And as he's repeating that, he says all of a sudden, he could just sense that of a fire coming down upon him and what it did in his life. Things that he had been dealing with for 30 years or more, just gone because of the fire of the Holy Spirit coming down and burning that out of him. And whatever he was, depression for 30 years, now he had joy, he had happiness, something that he hadn't had for decades. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? That's the things that we're talking about. That's the things I want you to grab a hold of, that no matter where you're at in your life right now, you can be better. You know, if you're really having discouragement, and if you're really down, and if you're really not living a true life of, oh, this abundance and abundant life that Christ said Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly, I don't have it. What's going on? And it's not to say that once we get the Holy Spirit that it's going to be all well and good and that's all you need. We talk again and we want to make sure and we reemphasize you've got to be refilled and refilled. The rivers of living water, fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Hallelujah, to overflowing. Amen. I'll probably end with this particular area. And next week I'm going to pick up on the signs of spiritual dryness. So I would encourage you to come back next week to find out, well, how do I know if I'm spiritually dehydrated? You know, this is just like seven areas to look at. There's probably all kinds of areas to look at, but here's some areas to look at that we can find to help us understand these things. Because I see it happening in lives of people in church. I see it possibly happening in my life personally, and it's something that I've got to be accountable to and thinking about and being aware of. But as I looked at this in regards to the water table, and what's that? Why, Lord, did you say water table? Why did that come up all of a sudden? I think what had happened is I looked out the back window and I looked over, and it's been one of those weekends where that had rained that week or that couple of days before Sunday. And in one of the fields across the street from us here, you can see where water was pooled in a low area. Well, what's that tell you? That particular area of the ground is saturated. It can't go any further. It's like probably water from here down to where it needed to soak through. And soon that water table was high enough that now all of a sudden we began to have surface water. Water tables are spoke of either water table or groundwater. Means the same thing. Surface water, of course, tells that it's water on the surface. So when it rains, the water drains through the soil until it reaches the point in the earth that is saturated with water. Saturate me in your anointing. Saturate me in your presence. I need more of your anointing or presence. Saturate me. Pardon? Oh, Lord, I pray. Yes. It reaches the earth that is saturated with water. Had a lot of rain today. You'll go out here and there'll be puddles and there'll be things laying in the grass or in the grounds. The depth of the water table largely depends on the material that the earth underneath you is composed of and the amount of precipitation available. Saturation is dependent upon the material that's underneath us, of course. Hard and rocky and clay, the water won't go down as fast. So, sandy and loose, it'll drain faster. What is in you that when the Holy Spirit comes and we cry out for, fill me, Lord, what kind of material is it having to go through in your spiritual life to try to saturate you, to try to get down into that level of where the Holy Spirit really wants to be in your life and to fill you up from the inside out. You know, God, He lives and moves, you know, from the inside out. Heavenly Father, yeah, He comes from the inside out. How far? What does God have to do? What does He have to go through to get into the depths of you? And if it's stuff that's causing Him not to be able to get in there very deep, cry out for the Holy Spirit to come down in fire and burn up that stuff. Burn up the idols of wood and grass and stone, or grass and stubble, you know. But here, I found it very interesting where it says that it largely depends on the material that the earth underneath is composed of and how much the amount of precipitation is available. The more water and things, the more it goes down. There's a lot of things with all of this, and you understand that. The deeper the water table is, the deeper this water table is, it's more likely you could tap into it if it's deep, deep, deep enough. You can draw that water out, and you don't even have to purify it. You can just drink it right out of the ground, and it'd be fine. The closer it is to the ground, probably not as well because of the contaminants and things. But the deeper it goes through, the aquifers and all that goes through, the water is deep. Remember I had shared when we put this new pump and all in our well, I think it was like 30-some-odd feet down, they hit the water. So about 30 feet down, we hit water. And then from that down, I can't remember, I have to look on my notes, but I want to say it was 250 or 290 feet, they didn't hit bottom yet. So that made me a little concerned. I'm thinking, okay, I'm out here in this backyard, Denny's mowing, Dan's mowing out here, and all of a sudden we only got 30 feet between us and about 250 or 280 feet deep of water? You better cut with a moor, with a rope around you and tie it onto a tree somewhere. You know, it's like, I'm thinking, my Lord, we're over Lake Michigan. You're talking like depths of Lake Michigan when you start talking about 250, maybe 300 feet deep. My goodness. There you go. That'd take a lot of fishing line to go, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah. We've always had good results whenever they've tapped in, and because we are on well water out here, we've always been nitrates are like 0.000009 or something like that, just astronomically low because it is such an abundant water supply under there. I began to get a little concerned when I started seeing some of the farmers in the last 5, 6, 8 years, I guess it's been now, start putting in sprinkler systems. Now I'm getting pretty protective of my water. I'm thinking, they're digging down and putting a well in for water sprinkling. I wonder if they're tapping into where we're at, and I wonder if our water will go down, you know, because they just out of water, all that, you know. Haven't had to do it as much this year. But there is a wonderful, bountiful supply 30 to 40 feet below us. But the deeper the water is, the more likely you wouldn't have to purify to drink it. The deeper the Holy Spirit can get down into you, the deeper He can go in you, just think of that, the more pure He will be. It won't have to deal with the things of this world, the things of your life, the things of man, because we're burning it out. We're asking the Lord to turn us over, change the water in us, Lord. Do whatever. Clean us up and set us on Your path, Father. Let us glorify You. I want to have an abundant supply of You, Father, in me, and I want it to be pure, pure, pure. Amen? Purity of God. The deeper the water table is, the more pure it is. The deeper you go with God, the more pure your chances are to be. Do you think that? I would think that. Now, water tables can be shallow, or they can be hundreds of feet below the surface. You'll find that the water table fluctuates depending upon the current season you're in. Oh, boy. Okay, now I know why the Lord is sending me on this path of, Tim, how deep is your spiritual water table? It depends on the water table, and the natural depends on the season and the influx of things happening around it, the vegetation and the things that draw off of that water. Spiritually, Tim, what is it going through your life that I've got to get through to get more of me in you? What is restricting more of me in your life? The water table fluctuates depending upon the current season you're in. What season is Tim in? Boy, we talk about seasons, don't we? Well, how's your life going? How are things going with God? Oh, man, this has been what a season I'm in with Him. It's been horrendous. There's just so much going on in my life. So many things taking place. It just really seems like being sidetracked with the things of God. What has caused that? And if you know that and you're aware of that, I would encourage you to get closer to who? God. You're going to need more of Him if you're going through a season of trials and tribulations. You know, Jesus said, I've come, but, you know, you can receive me. But I'm going to tell you, you're still going to have trials and tribulations. But, you know, hey, count it all good. It's going to be testing and trying up your faith. So we're going to go through these things. We're not going to be able to get around it. But I'm just encouraging you to allow to know what, you know, the season that you're in. And it might be that you better tap into God a little bit more. You better hook up into Him a little bit longer than you did, you know, 2 months ago when everything was going pretty good and you just had some prayer time and some Bible reading time and all that, and now all of a sudden it really got difficult. You might need to be a little closer in prayer with Him. You might need to read more Scripture, whatever it is, to get that water in you, the water of the Word. You might need more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, refill me. Fill me up. I need more of You, Lord. Talks in Scripture about more of You and less of me. Sometimes that stuff that we think is a problem out in the world is no more than just us and ourselves creating that situation. And that's where we've got to say, Lord, more of You and less of me. You will find that the water table fluctuates depending upon the current season that you're in as well as the type of vegetation in the area. The water table is also affected by the amount of water that will be withdrawn from it due to wells in the area. Remember, we talk about as we are in the spiritual battle of things and spiritual walk, we will draw out of that well, draw from the living well in you, and to draw from that to help you, to keep you replenished and refreshed, to do the things that the Lord wants you to do. But then there has to be a time and you understanding that you need to be refreshed and refilled. You've had more drawn off than you've allowed to come in by that of God. You get, and that's what the enemy loves, to get you so busy in doing things. And sometimes he wants you to do things that are actually somewhat, as you look at it, good for the kingdom of God. But the devil knows that if he can keep you running long enough for a long time of frame, even doing something good for God, you will soon be exhausted and dry and parched and ready to be blown away by the wind of every doctrine. See, it's so important to be filled and actively filled and refreshed with that of God, by that of the Holy Spirit, to protect yourself from even winds of other doctrines out there that will get you sidetracked. But the devil, I think, loves to see a good Christian person just on fire for God to a point, and so much on fire that the devil already knows that, you know what, if I just keep them on this track for the next 6 months, they're going to be burned out, they're going to be dry, and they're going to be missing in action before you know it, because they just got overly done. But the Christian will say, but I thought it was all good because I was serving God. Remember something that was shared a long time back in one of our things that we did on many years back. A good thing done at the wrong time is still a wrong thing. I always remember that. I hear pastors in our community and I get with all the time, and it just seems like there's some of us that have kind of learned. We've kind of stepped back to some things, but others like to just get in there in charge of doing a lot of things. And it's like, okay, if you want to do that, you know, it's one of these things we're saying, well, I'm sure glad called you to do that, you know. Go on and run with it, brother, you know. But be wise, because there's some things here at Harvester's Church that we've had to, in the last 12 years that I've been here, we've had to lay down and not do. And even prior to that, there's some things that we did that we had to lay down and not do because of lack of hands to do it, or people's schedules changed, or whatever the case may be. But I think as pastors and leaders, we need to look at that and be understanding of that, and then read God's Word about there's a season and time for everything. My goodness, it's last May. We laid down the food pantry after 25 years. Hard thing to lay down, but you get talking to God and God gets sharing some things with you and trying to focus you into another area, and what you've done is well and good. And it's like, okay, Lord, I suppose we'll let it go and we'll wait for some other things and be a part of that. So we've got to be willing to lay these things down, because if not, the enemy loves to keep you just spinning your wheels. So anyway, it depends on the season you're in, what type of vegetation. The water table is also affected by the amount of water that will be withdrawn due to the wells. We find that water tables, the groundwater, it's in constant motion. Groundwater, or the water table, is in constant motion, but it moves very slowly compared to that of surface water. But your undercurrent, the water table, the water that's underground, it's always moving. because it's either going up, going down, moving, but it's slow. I will close with this. And like I said, next week we'll get to how deep is your spiritual water table and then seven signs of the spiritual dryness. So the water table, it's always moving, constantly moving, but it's slower than that of surface water. I began to, and this goes way back, I thought, Lord, my time with him and growing and developing him was a long time coming. It was just kind of like plodding along, doom, 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 doom. And then I'd see others that would come to him and go extremely fast and do extremely well for a while or for a season, and then guess what? They're gone. Or they stepped aside. And I always related it to my, and this is just me personally, I looked at my walk with God was something that was just a continuing, growing and developing at a pace that could be maintained. The water table, it's constantly moving, but at a much slower pace than surface water. A lot of people got fired up with God, or got even filled with the head of the Holy Spirit, possibly. They did what they did and did some fantastic things. But I watched, and I've been long enough now, 25 years or so here at the church, I've seen many things. And I've seen a lot of people that were fired up and just going headstrong for the things of God are now burned out and gone. And not serving really anywhere. And some are, but not all. I can tell you this, I bet there's probably more not than they are actually still serving somewhere in another ministry. But you'd look at them in the heyday, and they were just on fire, and they were just going, and they were just running with the things of God. But I think they were drawn off so much that they forgot to, they need to be recharged. They need to be refilled. They need to stay close to God. Doing a good thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. And they need to step back, and we all need to do that. I need to do that. We all need to do that. Step back a little bit and say, okay, Lord, you know, and I correlate it to, you all know that story of the tortoise and the turtle. You know? Who won the race? Oh, what did I say? Oh, I said the tortoise and the turtle. They're the same thing, aren't they? Well, thank you for straightening me out, because that would have sounded dumb on the recording that goes out. They go, what's he talking about? A tortoise and a turtle. Turtle and a rabbit. Tortoise and the rabbit. Thank you. I think I said that one other time and you corrected me. You can tell I forgot already. The tortoise. Tortoise and a hare. You know, he just plopped along. I always remember the cartoon about that too, back when I was that age. He just kept going. And the rabbit was like a little thumper, man. Look back and laugh. I'm going to beat you. And he'd have to stop and rest, you know. The turtle just kept going, plotting along. And we know the story of the outcome. I think the Lord helped me understand that with some of my walks with him. And I really believe it, and it's not just for me, but maybe it is for me, but I think a lot of times people just need to realize, you know, just grow slowly and consistently with God. Don't think you've got to jump ahead 15 spaces, 25 chutes and ladders, land on that ladder, you know, or get on that slide, but just be consistent with God and allow God to be consistent with you. Be willing to call for refilling and refreshing on a regular basis, and realize when you need refreshing and refilling that you will figure out in your natural, as I have the spiritual like the natural, that your body is thirsting and craving for more water. The spirit person in you, the spirit man, is going to do that same thing. Tim, I need to be refreshed. You need to slow down. Well, how do you do that? It could be as easy as sitting, praise and worship and music or whatever the case may be. It's not a major thing to be filled. It's just, the major thing is just to recognize it and to stop and slow down enough to have it done. So next week we'll look at some of the areas of maybe what it looks like to be spiritually depleted in about seven areas there. As we close today, I want to wait on you and